Bibles out tonight. Turn over to the book of John tonight. You know, in the book of John, Christ refers to himself, gives himself a bunch of different names. John chapter 14, he calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. And John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine. He calls himself the bread of life. He calls himself the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 10, he gives the discourse about him being a shepherd. Let's pray and then we'll examine this passage a little bit. Let's see what God has for us in it. Heavenly Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, as I read my list tonight, I just thought of how big those things are. Lord, they're heavy requests. They're things, Lord, just completely out of our control. And Lord, I feel overwhelmed that I can't even do anything about it. But truly, they're nothing to you. They're in our life that you might get glory. If you can raise Lazarus from the dead, you can heal the sick. Lord, I pray that you'd use these situations to glorify yourself. Lord, help us to approach them with the right heart and the right attitude, the right spirit. Lord, I pray as we open up your word now that God, you'd minister to our hearts. And Lord, that you teach us something from your word. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't remember what class one of Sam was studying for. He was asking me, he says, Dad, what's the difference between rural and urban? I said, well, urban is city and rural is kind of country. He goes, where do those words come from? I said, I don't know. Those are just the words they use to describe the area. I said, we live in rural. And as you look out, as you maybe drive from your house to here, chances are really good you're going to pass some sort of farm, at least one. And we live in somewhat of a farming community. That's just how we go. You go into downtown Hamlin, and the majority of vehicles are parked at the restaurants are pickup trucks because those are the farmers, and that's just the area we live. Now we farm crops, but there's not a lot of animal farms around us, mainly because of the inclement 6 months called winter. Makes it a little hard to raise cattle and things. And as we read John chapter 10, we're asked to kind of understand something that might be a little bit outside of our understanding in shepherding. Now, I don't know if any of you ever worked as a shepherd. I have not. I've read a bunch on shepherding. The actual, not just like pastoring shepherding, but read about that, but I've actually read about how to be, what it takes to be a shepherd. I'm glad I'm not a shepherd. That's a lot of work. And you're dealing with sometimes unresponsive animals. And as we read this passage, we're going to see this interaction between Christ the shepherd and us, the sheep. And I'd actually like to read the first 14 verses, but I want to explain something before we read it so you have a little bit more understanding, again, because we don't necessarily live in a sheep town. My one son, I don't know why, but this week he determined that sometime throughout his life he'd like to visit New Zealand. And I said, there's more sheep than there are people in New Zealand. He says, I know. I said, okay. He goes, I want to see it. I want to see the mountains. I want to see the landscape. I said, all right. Well, maybe he'll take something from this passage. But we're introduced to a word in chapter 10 and verse 1. It says sheepfold. Now, sheepfold isn't something necessarily that we are familiar with, again, because we're not shepherds, nor are we shepherds at this time. What a sheepfold was is each village or each town, because they would have multiple shepherds, would build something called a sheepfold. The sheepfold was a wall about 10 to 12 feet high and with one door, one gate into it. And what would happen is during the day, the shepherds would take their sheep out to pasture and graze them and feed them, and the whole time watching over them and protecting them. There was a lot of wild beasts, and again, if you've ever had lamb, you would understand why so many animals would like to eat it. It tastes good. I like lamb. Anybody not like lamb? All right. Okay, very good. All right. That's all right. You could be wrong. That's okay. So there's these lamb, these sheep, and they, and we'll talk a little bit about the sheep, and we'll do this as quickly as we can. But I want you to understand the sheepfold, because it's really important to understand the context of what we're reading here. Again, it's a 10 to 12 foot wall, and it was usually in the center of the village, or the village would build one of these. And so throughout the day, the shepherds would take their sheep out to pasture, and at night, you can't be awake 24 hours. And animals laying out in the middle of the pasture or in the middle of the field, they're susceptible to prey. So they would bring them into the sheepfold, and what was standing at the sheepfold was a porter. That was his job. And he would guard the gate. And all night he would watch and make sure that thieves and robbers wouldn't climb over the wall and try and steal, make sure no wild beasts would come in. And then in the morning, what would happen is the shepherds would then return after getting rest. And they would stand at the gate and they would call for their sheep. And the sheep would recognize the voice of their shepherd and come out. Because within the sheepfold, again, imagine a very big area with a wall 10 to 12 feet high. They were all just kept in there safe. And the shepherd would stand at the gate and he would call to them. I'm not sure. I'm sure their sheep looked different than everybody else's sheep. But the way they distinguish it was by the voice of their shepherd. And then those sheep would come out, and as the shepherds would pick up their sheep in the morning, they would take them out to pasture and do the same thing, and then bring them back, and they would put them in the sheepfold. So understand that thought as we read John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, see, each sheepfold had a door, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So this passage makes a lot more sense now that we understand what a sheepfold is. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Pretty matter of fact there, Brother Parrott. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, he says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We've already discussed what the sheepfold was. And he says this in verse 6. He says, I'm speaking this as a parable. He's taking what is a parable? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He tells them about the sheepfold and something they're very familiar with. He's talking about shepherding. He's talking about the sheep. He's using the word porter. He's using the word hireling. Strangers, thieves, and robbers. But they each represent something. The sheepfold represents the church. And the thief and robbers are those false prophets and cults that would like to come and snatch those things away, cause harm to the church. I want to help you with something. And I mean it. I want to help you with something. Internet pastors, it's just, I'm telling you, they're usually at least one bubble off. At least one. Hey, let me show you Matthew chapter 7. So you just want people in church. I do. Not because I want that, but that's what God wants. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He says this, beware of false prophets which come to you, look at this, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. What would a wolf like to do with the sheep? Devour him. And there are thieves, and there are robbers, and there are false prophets out there. And they would like nothing more than to come and snatch you up. There is a real enemy out there. There is. Thieves and robbers. But, back to John chapter 10. So who do we have? We have the sheepfold. We have thieves and robbers. But in John chapter 10 and verse 2, we're introduced to our shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. If we look at verse 11, Christ says, he's not just the shepherd. What does he call himself? He calls himself the good shepherd. This shepherd does something that no other shepherd has ever done. Shepherds don't risk their life for sheep. Sheep die for the shepherd. That's how it goes. But this is the good shepherd. Not just, I like what it says. He doesn't say, I am a good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, he calls himself the great shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, he calls himself the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is not just a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Make no questions about it here. This passage, the good shepherd is Jesus Christ himself. The best one that we as sheep can follow is Jesus Christ. You'll never go wrong following Christ. Well, if there's a sheepfold, and if there's a shepherd, and there's thieves and robbers, who am I? Well, I'm the sheep. John chapter 10 and verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep are the believers. Now, if we look at sheep, they truly are harmless. I mean, unless you maybe try and take their young and then they come ramming you. But for the most part, not a lot of fatalities due to sheep. Oh, did you hear about trampled by a sheep? Not a lot of that. They're wrapped in cotton or wool. They're soft. It's like Charmin running at you. They're somewhat harmless. They are helpless. They don't have thumbs. They are completely dependent. They are certainly prone to wander. when a sheep is eating, they just keep going. They don't even look up. They're looking down at the food. And they'll eat themselves right into a pit. They'll eat themselves right off the edge of a cliff. They are prone to wander. But they are useful. Truly, the Christian, in theory, should be harmless. And we are helpless without Christ. For without me, you can do nothing. I should be dependent upon the shepherd. And it's true, I am prone to wander. But in the right setting, I could be useful. We could be useful. We think of sheep and how white and puffy they are. Anybody ever go to Springdale Farms here? Sheep don't look as how I think. They're not as clean as I thought. They're actually not clean. Look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verse 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. That sounds a lot like John chapter 10, what we read. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. But when He saw the multitude talking of Christ, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as what? As sheep having no shepherd. Truly the people are the sheep. The porter. Now let's think about this. The porter. The porter stands at the gate, and the shepherd entrusts the porter with the safety of the sheep until he returns. Sounds like the Holy Spirit of God to me. I want you to watch these until I come back. How does He call us back? Well, He calls us by His own voice. But until then, we are sealed and protected by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom we also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Until the morning when the shepherd stands at the gate and calls you out, you're kept by the porter. Go back to John chapter 10 quickly. John chapter 10 and verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. And they know not the voice of strangers. Hey, there's one voice that our ear and our heart ought to be in tune with, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I talk to a lot of young people, and I ask them the same questions, because there's really no other question to ask. When considering the decisions for their life, I ask, what did God say? Pastor, so I need some advice. I don't know what to do. Well, what did God tell you to do? I don't know. Then don't move. Until you can hear His voice leading, don't move. What was the last thing He told you to do? Do that. Keep doing that until He tells you different. Let's be careful that we not listen to a stranger, because that stranger is looking to pull us away. John chapter 10 and verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. In verse 7, he says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus Christ is the only way. I asked our class on Tuesday night, how many doors did the ark have? One. How many doors did the tabernacle have? One. How many doors are there towards heaven? One. How many doors are there in the sheepfold? One. One way in, one way out. Jesus Christ is that door. He is the only way in. Not only is he the shepherd, he says, I am the good shepherd. But he also says, I'm the door. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Second to last. John chapter 10 and verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. See, the shepherd might call upon somebody else to watch over the sheep. And it goes bad when they stop caring about the sheep. When they care about more about themselves than they do the sheep. Now, the good shepherd doesn't do that. Would never do that. But the hireling sometimes gets a little selfish. All of a sudden that wolf comes by and says, I ain't dying for them sheep. And he hightails it out of there. You know, sometimes when things get a little tough, even though the Lord gave you a ministry and sheep underneath you, is you as an under-shepherd maybe, and things get a little difficult, and this might fall bad on me, I'm out of here. That's not how we ought to be. That's not how we ought to be. Be careful that we not fall prey to the unfaithful hireling. The ministry of the Lord, the ministry the Lord has given you, be faithful to. Keep your heart in it. Look at Philippians chapter 1, a familiar verse. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That's not what the hireling says. Hireling says, "Oh, wolf, I'm out. This might cause me harm." The Christian says, "No, my life is for Christ." Let's be careful that we not be an unfaithful hireling. Lastly, John chapter 10 and verse 16. We stopped in reading in verse 14. We can continue on in verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now look at this, verse 16. "And other sheep I have," other sheep, "which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Man, isn't that great news? Say, why? Because that's you. Hey, originally Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost house of Israel. But he mentions this. He says, "But hold on, I'm going to go get some more. That isn't part of this fold, but when I bring them in, we're all going to be one together." Oh man, that's good news. Because that's me. I have no business being in that sheepfold, but yet God came, sought me out, and said, "Let me take you to a place of safety. Let me take you to a place of blessing and protection." And the shepherd brought this unworthy sheep into the sheepfold. He's not just the shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And as we read John chapter 10, maybe next time you read through, that these verses and these words that maybe we're somewhat unfamiliar with just because it's not our way. Sheepfold. What's a porter? What's a hireling? What are these things? Now as I read them, it makes perfect. And listen, and it's beautiful. Because God takes something that just doesn't belong and brings it all together. And yes, that is a parable for the ages. I probably would have been there saying, what are you talking about? But I like when he says, I am the door of the sheep. Praise the Lord for one way through Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. John chapter 10 tonight.